God is good. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 6. Oh, can't you feel it? Don't you know? Honor the privilege He's just given to us. Privilege so rare. It's too good for us. It's too good for us. Yet He gave it. He gave us a moment to stop all that we were doing and to worship Him. All of heaven looks for Him. Every moment of every day, if you will, of every hour, if you can, their every thought is set upon Him. And yet, He takes those moments in time and opens up the sphere of the Spirit and allows us to worship. What a privilege. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel it in your heart? Let it penetrate. Remember it the next time you forget to worship Him. It's a privilege and an honor to worship the Lord. No greater honor given to man than to worship God. He walked in the presence of the Father. So fair. His heart ever, ever in fellowship with the Father, worshiping Him every moment, day and night. His love so great. So great for the Father. So great for us. Jesus never left that marvelous place of dwelling. He was so wise. And John the Baptist also never left that place, that marvelous place of dwelling. So wise. The Lord spoke to me once. And He said to me, "Are you willing to become poor that I might make you rich?" And He showed me in a vision what it was He meant. And in the vision, the poorer I became, the sadder my heart became. It's not easy to give up the things of the world. You think it might be, but it's not. They cling very tight to the heart. But the day then came, He gave the wealth. My heart and my soul are so filled with the presence of God, it's hard. It's hard to minister. I just want to go hide away in the secret place. You understand, right? Okay, are we at Matthew 6, verse 9? Pray therefore like this: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven, and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray like this. We're talking specifically about your will be done and your kingdom coming. And as I was praying about this afternoon, I was thinking I would move on and begin to talk about forgiveness, because that's so critical in the life of a Christian. You cannot go forward in God when you have bitterness in your heart. It restrains you from the forward move, the upward climb. But as I prayed, the Lord began to impress me very strongly about the kingdom and how the kingdom is the kingdom of truth. So we might say it like this: thy truth come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy truth come. Thy truth come. Thy truth come. Well, with all of its dynamics, with all of its ramifications, that's not a small thing. It's not a light thing. When his truth came, back in the days of bringing Israel out of Egypt, it was a major thing. The whole earth was filled with his glory. The whole earth heard of his coming, the coming of truth, to brighten and lighten the earth. It changed history. It stopped time in its tracks. It gave birth to the world, the knowledge of God. It's not a light thing. It's not a mild thing. It's not something to take lightly or mildly. It's not something to skim over the top to say, your truth come. Because when his truth comes, it confronts. And it confronts everything it touches. And everything that does not line up with it feels the pain of that confrontation. It falls or rises based on, does it align? Does it receive the light? Oh, boy. Then, when he who is truth came again, in the days of his visitation on the earth, what an impact he made. Devils screamed and flew. Sickness could not stand. Miracles happened everywhere that he went. He threatened that if you had the faith, you could move mountains, because he knew he could. Truth could have impacted the world to create seas, to set earthquakes in place, to cause mountains to skip like rams. Truth came, and though he was in Jerusalem, He could have spoken the word that would have caused all of the world to come to his feet. Not a soul left anywhere on the earth. Even though in their natural hearing, they may not have heard his voice, but it doesn't matter. When truth speaks, all of creation must attend. So much is this true, I think he had to say that the bread had to go first to Israel. He didn't dare call the nations because they would have come. It's not a light thing. It's not a mild thing to say, truth come. When the seven spirits of the Lord come in to say a sanctuary such as this, you can read the thoughts of man, hear their hearts, know their thoughts. And when they come in, you, sitting in the congregation, know whether or not your preacher is telling the truth. The atmosphere of truth enters in. The environment of truth enters in. Not only does it reveal the preacher's heart, but it reveals your heart. And where you're refusing to align yourself with the power and the force and the life of truth. The light of truth. Then you have to make a decision. It's not necessarily a pleasant thing to say, thy truth come. It's not necessarily an exciting upliftment. But to the one who wants the King of Truth, it is a necessary path. And the suffering, the initial suffering on that path is welcome. For the sake of the light on the other side of it. The glory on the other side of it. Oh, what my heart is feeling right now. I don't know if you just got what I got. But you know, he loves his truth. He loves it so much. He wants us to love it the way he loves it. He wants us to go beyond the boundaries that we have fixed for ourselves. He wants us to break through the veils. I saw a corridor with many veils running along the corridor, not along the length of the corridor, but across the path of the corridor. Many veils. And each veil, you needed to go through it to gain the line upon line, precept upon precept of truth. Please understand, I want you to understand the way of God. The way of man is study, 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 study. And get your head full of truth until it's out of here like this, you know? That's man's way. I know all. They call me the answer person. Anything you want to know about the Word, about God, I know. Just ask. And the head keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it quits being round, and it starts deforming. One moment it's square, the next moment it's a rectangle. The next moment it's a pyramid. I know all. I have a TDT, a PhD, Doctor of Divinity, a DDD, DDHD, ADHD before my name. I've got all 15 of those letters. I know it all. I study day and night. But they know very little about God. Then there are those, I have memorized 15,000 scriptures. And just listen to what comes out of their mouth. I mean, they are like a walking Bible. But their heart is cold as stone. There's no life in it. That's man's way, but not God's way. God wants to teach the heart. He wants to impart truth to the heart. He wants to impart revelation to the heart so that you're not just getting information, but you're getting life from the revelation. Life that sustains and changes. Just before I shared this with you, the Lord pierced my heart with that thought. He wants you to know he doesn't function the way man does. You know, in heaven, the Bible says that you are known as you know. No, it says just the opposite. You know as you are known. And it's amazing in heaven because no one, at least that I have met, when I'm in heaven, converses with their mouth. They converse spirit to spirit. So I suddenly know their thoughts, the thoughts of their heart. And they suddenly know the thoughts of my heart. So, you know, if they speak Nigerian, I understand it because I'm not listening to words. I'm listening to the heart. If they speak Japanese, I understand it and I speak it back because it's, of course, they don't speak Japanese or Nigerian or Chinese up in heaven. They all speak English. I'm funning with you. It seems like they all speak English because that's how we understand each other. You know, but if I was going up there and all I knew was Chinese, it would seem like they'd come back with a new, fresh revelation. Heaven speaks Chinese! Truth is designed to enlarge the heart, that he may enlarge the spirit. That's why if your heart is full of wounds, you can't walk in revelation. Just little tiny bits and pieces. Because the wounds bind it. They're like, how can I say it? They're like concrete. And the truth can't penetrate it. The wounds create hardness of heart. That's why you want to get healed of your emotional wounds. Because if you can't live by the spirit of revelation, neither can you live by the spirit of, the life of the spirit. And God wants to help his church enter into the life of the spirit. Further, if your heart is full of lies, say lies. Deception, say deception. Mostly self-deception. Your heart, again, is hard because sin always hardens the heart. So the truth can only penetrate on a very superficial level. That's why repentance is so important. If you want revelation, you have to start out with repentance. It is imperative. Otherwise, you open the Bible and you get information and you think you've got revelation. Well, a child could have gotten that out of the Word. Maybe a child could have gotten more revelation than you got. I remember one time when the Lord, my granddaughter Tiffany, who, by the way, incidentally, is getting married soon. She's a prophetess, and she started prophesying when she wasn't even 2 years old. The Lord appeared to her when she was about 6 years old. I don't know how many times she's read the Bible, many times. Danny knows her. Well, my whole team knows her. She went to Nigeria with us 1 year and sang in front of the whole Congress of Nigeria on national television. When she found out, she almost passed out. But anyway, when she was about 6 years old, the Lord had been moving on her to read the book of Esther. When she was finished, he appeared to her one night. He came in a basket. Isn't that sweet? He came, you know, because Tiffany's a child, he's not going to frighten her. So he came in a basket with two angels flanking him on either side. She just thought it was the most extraordinary thing she'd ever seen. He climbs out of the basket, stands at the head of her bed. Because of the way her bed was situated, he could do that. And he said to her, "Tiffany, I am so proud of you for the amount of time you spend in my word. I am so proud of you. You please me so much because you spend so much time in my word." She's 6 years old. And he said, "Not Esther, I'm sorry, Ruth, the book of Ruth." And he said, "You've been reading the book of Ruth, and do you know that I was leading you to read the book of Ruth?" And she just looked at him. You know, she was a little blue-eyed blonde, her eyes so big. "You were?" He said, "Yes, because I wanted to come tonight, and I wanted to teach you the book of Ruth." So he sat down, took her Bible, you know, sat down cross, you know, Indian style, took her Bible, and taught her the book of Ruth. I said, "Honey, you know, I love revelation, but I'm sorry, I also do like a little information." So I said, "Tiffany, honey, what did he teach you?" She said, "Gamma, he taught me the book of Ruth." I said, "But what did he teach you out of the book?" She said, "What he wanted me to know." This is the way Tiffany talked when she was 6 years old. And I said, "Okay, what did he want you to know?" And she said, "He took it with him, Grandma. When he left, he took it with him." And I said, "That's all right, honey. It's still in here." Isn't that something? 6 years old, she couldn't remember it. "What he wanted me to know. That's what he taught me." But you know, from that day, the book of Ruth was always very precious to Tiffany because Jesus came to personally teach it to her. Why am I telling you that cute little story? God wants to give revelation, and he'll give it to a six-year-old if she'll listen. He'll give it to anybody that will listen. All he wants you to do is listen. Listen and let it change you. That's all. And to the degree that you seek out the diamonds, that you seek out the gold out of the Word of God and pray and fast for revelation, revelation of the truth, to the degree that you yearn for it in your heart and will live by whatever he gives you, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. Exactly what you need at your age, at this time in your life, He will give it to you. Whatever you need to grow in Him, He will give it to you. Because He's God and He knows that is your food. No human body can grow properly without food. And no spirit and soul can be fully developed in the life of Christ without the proper nutrition. He will give it to you because He loves you and He wants you to grow. Thy truth come. His kingdom is truth. For His kingdom to come in you is an invitation for His truth. And the life of truth, the spirit of truth, the living truth, to come and take up residence in you and begin to claim your soul, to reform your heart, to restructure your mind, so that you're not just seeing the word out of the black and white of it. I mean, that is the most, it's not, you can so pervert the word because your heart is hard and it doesn't really understand the life of the word, the life of God, His ways, how He thinks, how He feels. And if you don't understand these things, you can pervert the word. I remember, I don't know if this is still going on. Oh, I hope not. It probably is, though. When the hyper grace message became so popular, I mean, it was going through Canada like wildfire. And Canada got it from down here in Texas. The hyper grace message. Everything is grace, grace, grace. They got to the point that they said, don't even mention sin. Because you're saved, you don't sin. So why mention the word? Were these people perfected? No, they were sitting left and right. But it's a perversion that comes due to lack of prayer and meditation on the word, and a heart that is filled with wounds, a heart that is filled with sin that God has never had an opportunity to deal with, to bring humility to your heart. How does He tell us to receive the engrafted word? How? How? Meekness. You can't receive it in pride. When your heart is filled with pride, it sits on the surface and just kind of floats around there, but never goes in to really transform the heart and therefore transform the soul. What I'm telling you tonight, maybe you think, I already knew that. But if you really knew it the way God wants you to know it, you'd be being changed by this truth every day of your life. This truth is so precious to Him. When He put it into my heart a few minutes ago, it was an awesome thing because it was accompanied with the love that He has and the light that shines and emanates from this one truth. He wants to feed you with this truth, so that you can have all you want in Him. But you must humble yourself. That is the image of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't over in the corner, you know, writing about her theological studies. She was there with nothing except hunger and patience and a heart to cling. That's all in the world she had. And with that, she sat and she drank at His feet as much as she could possibly drink. And she did it in a humble heart, a humble spirit. And that is why Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better part. She's sitting there at the feet of Jesus being persecuted by her sister. You got to remember, she was a Jewish woman. In her mind and in her understanding, everything that Martha was saying was true. Mary was bad. Martha was good. Mary was wrong. Martha was right. In her understanding, please listen to this. In her understanding, as a woman, a Jewish woman, she did not even have the right to sit at the feet of the rabbi. Education was reserved only for the men. Everything she was doing was wrong. That's what made what she did so beautiful. She came in the humility and in the simplicity of a hungry soul and just drank at the feet of the Lord. It didn't matter that her sister was persecuting her, and if anyone else was in the house agreeing with her sister, she didn't notice it. She was so hungry for every word that came forth out of the mouth of the Son of God. And because of it, Jesus fed her heart with revelation. She desired the best part, and that's what he gave her. He didn't give her information. He gave her the life of the Spirit and revelation. Elizabeth could hear it. She could hear what the Lord was saying, even though she was busy in the kitchen. But it was coming into her head, information. The Lord wants to grow up his church. And my dear brothers and sisters, he can't do it with information. That's not what's going to cause you to grow. The only thing that can develop your soul, reform your heart, restructure your mind, is revelation. How do you prepare for it? A living sacrifice, holy and pure. Say it, a living sacrifice. That means you get on the altar and you die. Does it hurt? If you're dying right, it does. If it don't hurt, you're doing it wrong. Anyone that stands up and tells you dying is fun, they don't understand dying at all, or not exactly telling you the truth. It hurts to die. But if you want revelation, you have to die. I can remember years in my Christian walk, the Lord would take me through a horrific storm. No fun, but right behind it, several visitations. Horrific storm, no fun. Right behind it, several visitations. That's what the storm was about, was to prepare me for the truth. The storm, the truth, the storm, the truth. He must break up the soil. He must help you break up the fallow ground. Oh, if I could only pour into you what I'm feeling right now. The Lord loves fallow ground. Only farmers like fallow ground. City people don't understand it, but God loves it. He loves fallow ground. He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. It draws him to it to begin to plow it and prepare it for the seed. If you don't even bother to have a heart of fallow ground, he's got so much work to do. He has to break through all the concrete, remove it. Then he can start finding fallow ground. But he loves fallow ground, because there he can move his plow and he can work quickly, quickly to prepare the ground for the valuables, the precious seed. If only we could realize how precious the seed is. It is the very love of God that gives it. It is the most precious thing in the world, the seed. And if only we could see it to the point that we go in daily and we plow that fallow ground and plow it and plow it and plow it and plow it, telling the Lord, I'm preparing the ground for for your precious seed, Lord, so that what you give me I don't lose and it doesn't go into a perverted heart that's going to make it something that it shouldn't be. He loves the seed he plants. He loves it. He doesn't want any of it to be lost. He wants it to go into a heart that is prepared and can bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Let the love of God go into your heart tonight. Let the Spirit of life go into your heart tonight and do a work in your heart, preparing your heart for the precious seed. When the plow is going through your heart, I can promise you, you're not standing there lifted up with your nose in the air about everything you know. When the plow is going through your heart, man, you're broken. You're broken. You're broken before God. You're broken before His Word. You're broken. And every truth becomes something so sacred, you're humbled before it. I've never understood these people that claim to have so many visions and visitations, and yet they talk to the church like they're some kind of, you know, reigning king, ruling monarch. Their hearts are filled with pride. I've never understood it. And I think, how can you see what you say you saw and know what you say you know and not be broken in two by it? Why isn't your heart so humbled that you're in awe? But you know, that's between them and God. I just know for me, every visitation breaks me. Every revelation breaks me. His Word melts me. What I see just absolutely melts me. It turns me into liquid. The heart must be pliable. It must be sacred ground. You're in this earth. There is nothing more important to the living God than your heart. Out of it spring the well of life. Your heart is so important to Him. It is there in the seed bed of your heart that he communes with you, that He speaks to you, that He reveals Himself to you. Your heart is so sacred to the Spirit of the Lord. Your heart is so sacred to the Father. It is something that is worth, listen to this. It is something He loves so much, means so much to Him, that He was willing to pour out the blood of His dear Son to be able to fill it with Himself. He wants you to have the same love for your heart, the same sacred protection for your heart that He does. That you will live to prepare your sacred temple for His Word, for His presence. He wants to give you Himself. He wants His Word to spring forth into life in this place He wants to call home. Jesus Christ came to give you truth and by it to transform you. Oh, it's so amazing to me. In the world today, it seems like for years the big thing has been knowledge, knowledge, and knowledge will increase, knowledge. We even today at lunch talked about it with the children, how, you know, 2 and 3 year olds can do today what we can't do when we're 50 and 60 years old. They just seem to understand technology. It's scary. Knowledge. Say knowledge. 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 That is what is on the heart of man. Knowledge. Convey knowledge. More knowledge. Require more knowledge. Demand more knowledge. Get more knowledge. And why is the devil so filled with this passionate zeal to fill the mind of man with knowledge? Why? Because he wants to destroy revelation. He wants to fill you so much full of knowledge. There's no place left for revelation. He wants to so harden your heart with knowledge that God can't get the revelation into it. Fight for the spirit of truth. Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for it. Weep and wail and fast and pray for the spirit of truth, and that your heart would be worthy of the truth when it's given. And I love this part. And to you it will be given. What a promise. And more besides, he said. What a promise. All he wants to know is that you respect it. All he wants to know is that you love it the way he does. All he wants to know is that you're going to cradle it and nurture it and bring it into the fullness of his purpose. That's all he wants to know. Give and it will be given. What do you give? Self, brokenness. What will be given? Truth, life, light. Whoa, go after it. You don't have to have a college education. Please, you don't. The whole thing is backwards. You don't need the college education. You need a love for truth. Yeah. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied, personified in him. Assuming that you really have been taught by him. Many Christians think they've been taught by him because they go to church every Sunday and they hear the pastor preach. They think they've been taught by Jesus. Maybe they've gotten a little bit of teaching by Jesus, but mostly it's teaching by man. Can I tell you why? And why the church depends on what comes across the pulpit on Sunday, be it good or bad. Because they don't want to pay the price of the cross to get the truth the way only the Spirit can give it. Truth has a price tag, and it has to cut across your flesh. It has to plow the fallow ground. It has to. The cross must do its work to prepare the place for truth. But the one who really wants to be taught of Christ, who really wants truth, they will pay the price. They will pay the price. And they will get their heart's desire. I love you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for paying the price, Lord. Thank you that you picked up the cross and you carried it. Thank you that you took the lashes on your back, Lord. On your neck and on the side of your face, Lord. The bloody lashes. Thank you that the crown gouged into your head, Lord, and the blood poured down. Your eyes were so bloody and swollen, Lord, so bruised because of what they did to you. But thank you. You went through it all so that the sin that is in our heart, Lord, could be put upon you, so that you could give us truth. You are truth. All truth is found in you. Thank you for paying the price. It is too beautiful, too wonderful, Lord. Too awesome. Too awesome. Too awesome. You opened the womb of the morning and you exposed the heart of God. And out of the floodgates came rivers of truth for the waiting heart.